Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know, believe, and hold to the very truth of the three commands that the Lord Jesus has given his church, that we are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ into this world. In that regard, we cherish all of the scripture, for from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, these three commands sum up every word that we have read and know and have given our lives to, for they are the authoritative word of God unto life of every human being on planet Earth. And to that we give ourselves this day as we turn to the book of Philemon. We're going to be in Philemon, and we're going to look at the entire chapter again. As you know, I'm looking at the shortest books of the Bible. We went through two of them, and now we are looking at the third. And the third is the book of Philemon, written by the Apostle Paul. And he writes to us in a very succinct way. And as we look at the word that Paul has given us, and it's just a few short verses, it's 25 verses, but it is truly packed for us, and it just amazes me because in all of the ones that we have done thus far, including this one, we will find that the love God, love others, and go is how he started every one. Have any of you noticed that? I didn't point it out because I wanted to wait until today to point it out, but let's see if we can find it. From the beginning, Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. As we look at these words, we can see here where he is being commended for his love of the Father, for his love of others, and for the fact that he has been going out and taking that word to other people. Those are the three commands that Christ gave each and every one of us. And that is how Paul opened all three, or that is how Paul and John opened these three letters. A simple little letter, but in each three of these little letters, which are pointed directly at the church and the heart of the church, there is the acknowledgement that we are to love God, love others, and go. And each of these has been doing so. And that's one of the things that I want us to understand, because God is looking at each and every one of us, and he is examining our lives, not to grade us, but to see if we are walking with him in truth and in unity. Because it is in that that the fruit of the Spirit comes out, that we love God, we love others, and we go. And today I want you to understand that as you are living out your life and just simply being Christian, you know, everybody thinks evangelism is hard. No, it's not. Evangelism is so easy. Just be you. Just be you in Christ Jesus, and you are going to show the love of God, the love of others, and the fact that you're going in everything you do. Yeah, but Pastor, there's no buts. Do you know this word? Do you know his name? Do you know his love? Do you know how he's carried you? And don't we all show it? How much appreciation do we have? You know, Miss Susan just stood up here and spoke the praises of the Lord and the praises of the saints, because we were lifting you and we knew we were being lifted before the Father and he's healing you. That's what she just did. Is it real? Yeah. I think it's funny because I see it on your faces. I look for several of you to come in. I love when Miss Dawn comes in. Her face is like, phew. I mean, just, you know what I mean? You know you're walking into the presence of somebody that loves the Lord. How many of you have experienced that? You don't even have to know the person. You know, you can walk into the whatever, and you're just like, oh, they're a Christian. You know it because they exude it. The Spirit of the Lord comes through them. And how many of you have ever struck up conversations with people like that? Boy, I have. I have, sitting at a diner, and the waitress comes over, and she's just bubbling over. And you just look at them, and you don't say anything at first, you know. You talk with them a little bit, and you make your order, and then you just look, and you say, "You're a Christian, aren't you? Wow, did you know?" Because it's coming out. You can't help it. And that's what the apostle here was saying to Philemon. It's just coming out. And it's a good thing. And you're encouraging many. And I want to encourage you, that's how we need to live. That is the word that God wants to speak into each and every one of our lives. He has a letter he's writing for each and every one of us. Are we listening? How many of you are checking your spiritual post to see if it's showing up for you? Because I'll guarantee you, that woodcock flying across was my spiritual letter to let me know things are good. And everybody else got to see it too. He's there, writing into every page of your life. And he's writing, well done. Well done. If you're walking with him and showing the love of God, the love of others, and you're not afraid to go with who you are, may you hold to that and see the blessings thereof. Because as you do, God's going to bring things into your life. How many of you want to be in God's will? Every hand ought to be in the air, okay? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to be in God's will, you will. That's the way it works. Because God enters into those who open up to him. And if you want that relationship, he's going to come in. But you know what? Sometimes some of the things he asks of us might be a little difficult. Let's see what he asks of Philemon. He says, "Therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do what is proper, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. I've sent him back to you in person, that is, sending my very heart, whom I wish to keep with me so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will. For perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you regard me a partner, accept him as you would me." This seems like a strange request because we really don't know what's going on here. But historically, we do know what's going on here. Historically, this man was a slave, and he had stolen from his master, who was Philemon, and he ran away. Does anybody know what the penalty for a runaway slave was in Rome? Yeah, death. Dead. Okay? Stealing was bad enough, but to run away from your master, it was a death sentence. It was a death sentence. And here, this one made his way to Rome and found the Apostle Paul and became a brother in Christ. And not just a brother in Christ, but a comfort unto Paul. And one so willing, having been transformed by the grace of God, to literally go back and face the penalty that he may face. How many of us are willing to go back and face the penalty that we may face? That's why we come to the cross every Sunday, because we are facing the penalty that was put on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, folks often ask me, Pastor Rich, you know, how comes you do the confession of sin every Sunday? Because I'm a sinner and I need saving grace. Can I get an amen? It's not just part of a liturgy. It's part of my relationship that I know I need Jesus. I know what he has done for me, and I've got to keep short accounts with him. Well, here's this one, and now he wants to go back and keep account. And Paul is asking him here to receive him, back. He says, I could order you to do so. You know, how many of you would listen to Pastor if I told you you had to do something? You know, I think it's funny because that's how churches fall apart, because the pastor says to do something, and what do? That pastor, he's no good. Do you hear what he told me to do? Well, it ain't just what I'm telling you to do. What's this book tell you to do? And I think it's so funny because I've been in that church. And I've watched what happens. And I think it's kind of funny because after a few weeks, maybe months, might even be a year or two, the pastor didn't leave, so I guess I got to go back. And they come back. Changed. This one ran away. He ran away from his master. How many of us have run away from our master? I ain't looking at you. Don't want you to tell on yourself. Because our master's the Father. But the Son says, I got you covered. Come on back. I could order you. He is the Son, after all, which makes him still God, right? But he says, you choose. Because we are talking about the virtue. That's the name of the title. The virtue that changes everything. What's that virtue called? Forgiveness. How many of us have somebody in our life right now as a Christian that we need to forgive? Because I'm guaranteeing you the only one that's hurting is you. It creates a cancer in our spirit that makes us bitter. And we've got to walk in that forgiveness, because it's only in that forgiveness that we can truly find freedom. And it's so amazing when we realize, you know, how many of us pray the prayer, and you know we're going to pray it later in the service, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Who taught us that prayer? The Lord Jesus. Wow. Do you realize he lived that prayer? A lot of people look at me and they're like, what do you mean? He lived that prayer. Did he not take our sin upon himself? Did he not forgive our sins? Yeah. He forgave his debtors, because every time we sin, no matter what we do, you may think it's against other people, but every time you sin, you are sinning against God Most High. We don't sin against people and things in this world. They may be affected by what we do, but every time we sin against this word, the truth. And Jesus Christ paid the price of that sin on the cross of Calvary for each and every one of us. And he showed us the way. And he shows us the way every day and every day and every day. And I think about my life and the time I have wasted being grievous towards someone else when that person didn't even know. All it did was plague me. Wouldn't let me get forward. You know, I used to hate my father. I mean, pastor tells you who he is because this is what real Christianity is. We talk the truth to one another. My father was not a good man. He was a broken man. I remember being called stupid, dumb, more so than I was ever called Richie. And it was not until I had a son that my father began to appreciate me. But by then it was too late because I was already a bitter man. My father died my friend. My father died my dad. Notice what I'm calling him here. He was always my father because he created me. But he wasn't my dad until the last 3 years of his life when he contracted cancer and he sought forgiveness. And it took him, the man that I thought I was bigger than, to teach me what it really meant to be a man and to be free. My dad became a Christian just 6 months before he died. I longed to see him in heaven and get to know him all over again. How many of us need some of that in our lives right now? Now. Don't live with regrets. Look to what the word says. Forgive one another. Forgive one another. It may hurt, but I'm telling you right now, the process of that forgiveness will set you free and bring you hope. And it's so amazing because Paul here shows just how powerful this is. Look what he says from verse 18. He says to us, but if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this of my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe to me even your own self as well. What's he talking about there? That man was dead himself in the world until he heard the word through Paul. Can I get an amen? And in that word, he was set free, and the forgiveness of his sins was realized, and the sanctification of his life began. And Paul says, if he owes you anything, put it on my account. Where's Paul right now? Where is Paul at the writing of this letter? He is in prison looking at the death sentence. Put it on my account. And isn't that what Jesus said for each and every one of us? Do you think Philemon didn't have any idea what Paul was talking about when he read that? You know, it's so amazing. Something will happen, and you know, we're all human. How many of you here aren't human? The walls go up. The doors come slamming down. The bars slide in. We lock that puppy up so bad that ain't nothing getting in or getting out because somebody's hurt me. Somebody's done something against me. But then we have to live in that box. Not them. We have to live in that box. And it becomes a prison. And Christ has opened the door of that prison, and we need to begin opening the door of the prisons we've created ourselves. We need to remember one has paid that price. And he's paid it once and for all. But we need to remember it. Because I'm going to tell you all right now, how many of you know things are going to happen in the next week, 2 weeks? Because you know when I preach a sermon, you know what ends up happening. I got to eat this puppy. Okay? And it's funny because I think of the scroll that was given to the prophet. And he says, here, eat this. Eat this. And it's like, God, every time I put a sermon together, I got to eat this. And he says, yes, you do. Because it's the truth and every one of us has to eat it. Can I get an amen? And it amazes me because I talk with you and y'all come up to me a week or two later and say, you know, you preached this a couple weeks ago. You won't believe what happened. And I'm just singing in my spirit, yes, I will, tell me. Yes, I will, tell me. Because I want to hear how God's working. I want to see how the word's working. You know, even when we don't see him, he's working, amen? He is the way maker. He is the promise keeper. He, oh my heavens, when I think about who my Lord is and just what he does, I get fired up when I preach a word because I can't wait to see how you wear it. Because I know I'm gonna, and I gotta be real in it. I mean, I told you all just, 2 weeks ago, that the Lord asked me, do you believe the sermons that you've been preaching? And I said, well, yes. Bam, oh my Lord, here I am. And that's where Paul is right now. Paul is here with Philemon saying the exact same thing. So am I bringing you a new word? Nope, this is the same word everybody gets preached to when you know Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and oh man. That is the God we know. We can trust him. Things don't change. How much changes with us? You know, we react differently at every situation, okay? And yet, God says, this is who I want you to become. Because I don't want you to walk in that struggle anymore. I don't want you to be in that turmoil. I want to set you free that you can set others free. Because you know that's what we do. We keep everybody down. Because that's what our world wants us to do. I want you to think about the stuff you hear on the news, the stuff that, the litigations and all these rules and regulations. You know, they call them laws, right? And all these different things that they do. How many of them are reactionary? They do not solve anything. They just take a problem and they swing the pendulum so far to the other side, it doesn't fix anything. It just makes implication upon those of us who wouldn't do it in the first place. You know, I think it's hilarious when we see how people react because we would rather tie our own hands and fix the real problem. Because that's what Satan wants. He wants us so balled up that we can't move. And Christ says, no, I have come to give you life and life abundant. And that means to walk in the forgiveness of grace. And in so doing, guess what we get to receive? The forgiveness of grace. And oh, how that grace changes our lives. And what a measure it makes. And what a measure it's going to make. Paul here says to Philemon, you know, charge that to my account. I will repay it. Well, how is Paul going to repay this? Paul is literally telling him, you know, that if I'm found guilty, they're going to take my life. And we all ultimately know how this ended, don't we? Was Jesus guilty of our sin? How did it end? Yeah, we all know how it ended. Because without that ending, none of us could be forgiven. But in that ending, there's a new beginning. And that's what Paul was looking for, is that new beginning that can only come as we walk in the sanctifying grace of Christ. And he says to him, having confidence in your obedience. Okay, this is verse 21. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, since I know that you will do even more than what I say. At the same time, also prepare for me lodging, for I hope that through your prayers, I will be given to you. See, Paul is looking here that as you set him free, so too pray that I may be freed from this thing that I'm going into. But we know that Paul died because Nero was looking for a scapegoat. Okay? We know that Jesus died because he became the scapegoat for each and every one of us. Willingly. No one held him there by compulsion. You know, everybody thinks the Romans put him on the cross. No, it says in the scriptures, he went what? Willingly. But where does he want to reside? And I love this when Paul says this. I hope that through your prayers, I will be given to you. Isn't that the prayer of Jesus Christ for every one of us? And he even spoke it from the cross. What did he speak from the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, in our sin and in our anger, we don't know what we're doing. We think we do. We think we're all grown up and we got our big boy britches on. Well, actually, we're acting like little kids. Because isn't that what children do? They throw a temper tantrum. I have to laugh. I saw one of my first temper tantrums in a long time with one of my grandkids. You know, little Emery threw himself on the floor and just, ah! I said, oh my gosh, is it that bad? And I just exasperate it. You know, I don't know how you grandparents work, but I just love to exasperate it because it's like, I'm going to pump this kid up to the point where, and then it just became funny. And then it was like, okay, he got over that. And that's what I want to be. I want to be all y'all grandpa. I'm going to pump you up and make you just all that until you finally get to the point that you realize, yeah, this is futile, it's stupid, it's childish. Let's get over this thing. Because isn't that the truth of it? We need to get out of the self and into the Christ in us, into the Spirit of God, which sets us free. And then we can begin to reach the maturity that Christ wishes to reveal in each and every one of us. But Satan wants us to run around like little kids with diapers on. And how many of us do? Yeah, I'm looking at Sis right now. How old are you, Sis? No, don't answer that question. Ruth Ann says, you wait, I am gonna get him. And I know it's coming. That's why I pick on Rudd. But when we see the truth and the hope that we have, we can pick on each other, can't we? Because we can rub on each other and say, now, you know I'm expecting it back. Because it's not all that serious. But the consequences of what we do are. Not just for ourselves, but for others. Because here this one was, this slave, you know, Onesimus, he was looking at a death sentence going back home. But he willingly went. Why? To truly prove to his master, now mark what I'm saying, to truly prove to his master that he was changed and that he was willing to accept the penalty that was his. But as Paul began this, but you show your love of God and your love of others. And in that, may the both of you go into the world and speak the name of Jesus Christ. Because that's our hope. That's my hope. That every person I forgive, every person that I let go, finally gets the fact that Christ wants to let them go too. Let them go into life and find the hope and the freedom that the cross of Calvary shares for each and every one of us. Paul is writing to Philemon, but I believe he's writing to each and every one of us. And it's a message that is so soft and so subtle, but so real that I pray we're able to take it to heart. And perhaps today, and yes, I'm talking to you, sis, because I know you need to forgive me for that one. I'll pay for it. So, you know, she's not getting free from it. So today, may your heart be open to not only give forgiveness, but to greater still receive it from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. And the church says, let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the word that you give each and every one of us. For Lord God, in this word, there is a depth of your love and your selflessness that you wish for each of us to know and express. So Lord, I pray for all of those who are hearing out there on internet land today and for all of us here, that we would understand the depth of forgiveness and the virtue that it truly is, because it's a virtue unto life and the life-giving flow of your Spirit within us. May we walk therein both now and forevermore in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ our Lord. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.